Hi there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm Jenny Sawyer. If you've ever had to forgive someone, you might know that it can be hard. And forgiving yourself when you've done something you regret? Well, sometimes that might feel even harder. But it's not impossible. My guest today has some firsthand experience about not just leaving regrets behind, but actually healing them. Here with me in the studio in Boston is Doris Ulisch. Doris is a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from outside of Berlin, Germany. Hi, Doris. It's so great to have you here in person.
Hello.
We're going to be talking today about a heavily requested topic from our listeners. I think a good place to start would just be talking about forgiveness in general. You're a Christian Scientist. I think Christian Science brings a pretty unique perspective to most things, but forgiveness included. Can you share a little bit to start just about how do you as a Christian Scientist think about what forgiveness is and how do we do it?
As you said, Christian Science shares a very unique light on nearly everything because it starts with this perspective from God. And now you need a little bit details. What does God mean?
Exactly.
Because it's just, for some, it's just a word they are not familiar with or they don't feel a connection with.
Yeah.
So if you see God not as a person and not as a thing, but rather this love you feel anyway and you enjoy feeling, then that's the starting point for forgiveness. It's not that God looks at a sort of mistake and then says, okay, what are we going to do here? And we need a sort of court in order to discuss the outcome of your sin and mistake. But it's because God is constant love. He is constantly seeing us with love and through love. And how can there be a sort of mistake or punishment resulting out of this mistake? And we pray that in the Lord's Prayer. It's part of it. So it's very important to be reminded that this is taking place. We don't have to fear any mistake. We don't have to fear that we don't get over it, as long as we remember that we are already loved.
You know, it's so great that you grounded this in the Lord's Prayer. And that specific line is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I've often thought about that more as kind of a burden of responsibility on myself. I mean, of course, it's part of a prayer, so we're asking God for help. But it feels like, okay, but Jenny, you have to do this. But the way you've set this up, it sounds like this is really a God-originated activity in a way, that it comes from love. So let's think about somebody who is really struggling, somebody who's listening to this show and saying, okay, but, you know, I can think of several really big mistakes in my life, and I feel so far away from God's love, and how do I even begin to start forgiving myself? All I can do is just replay the things that I've done wrong.
We are so used to analyze things, aren't we?
Yeah.
Each and everyone is involved in some sort of calculating and judging, and in a way, it's good because I'm analyzing this situation right now myself. So I nothing against analyzing, but if it remains there, you never get out of it. You can never change your perspective. And that's the point we need to get to the openness to get another perspective on ourselves or maybe something which happened in the past. And I am and was struggling with these kinds of questions a lot. This is not unusual.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone in the world who has not struggled with that.
Yeah.
Doing some sort of looking back and thinking, this was not good. And either I did it wrong or something happened and I think, oh, I was the victim. And it's really the openness to feel that connection with love, with God as an ever-present love. It's not like a light to switch on and off. It's this constant presence and constant outcome of love, which we can feel if we don't shut it out. So it's, in a way, it is unto ourselves, do I allow God to be part of my life? And then what would that make with things I'm not happy with? So I might give you an example.
That would be great, yeah.
If I would think back to my parents, there was a period after they passed where I was struggling with thinking I was not behaving myself in a good way to them. I was judging them and I was, you know, I definitely would say I criticized them a lot because I saw them, you know, in a way I thought they could do better and they asked me to do better and they didn't. So why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And looking back, I thought, oh my dear, why did I behave that way? And my refuge was turning to God because at the same time, my interest was enlarged to understand better what God is and what he does and how he has really an impact in my life. And it also then came out that the more I thought about God, the more I could see my relationship to God all the time. So you could say what I found out about God as being love, truth, life, those are descriptions we find in the Bible about God. And all those practical things coming along with these, like life is never ending, love is never ending, and the truth about me or about my parents could never be turned around. Truth is truth. How could it be turned around? So the more I thought about God, the more I explored about myself. And the more I did that, I could see in a different way my behavior towards my parents. And I also could see that they loved me all the time. If I was a teenager and not behaving in the kindest way, or if I was a busy mom, not having the time to care for my parents the way I would have loved to, and so on. So that, you know, this kind of imbalance of not feeling good about myself, that turned to a balance in ways of seeing myself as God's expression and seeing my parents as God's expression, fully equipped all the time. So that gave me peace. In a way, you could say that gave me forgiveness. Because forgiveness is feeling peace, grateful, and acknowledging the good which comes from God.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Doris. That's really helpful. And, you know, there was a specific idea that jumped out at me as you were sharing, which is it sounds like being able to forgive ourselves and others as well comes down a lot to the issue of identity. How are we seeing ourselves? And more importantly, I think, as you pointed out, how does God know us? And I think this is where Christian Science brings something really unique to the mix in that God is not a separate entity way off there, and we're a little mortal being running around on the earth, hopefully doing things right, but sometimes messing up. There's an actual oneness of God and his idea, us. Can you talk a little bit about, like, what does that really sort of mean in practice? How do we feel that? How do we get more of a sense of that relation?
If you don't feel it for yourself, you might look for sort of models, people around you who you think, what is helping them move along leaving the past behind and feeling this connection, as you said, to God. Maybe it's something you would read about in the Bible. There's the whole mixture of examples of people struggling with themselves and struggling with a health issue or with a relationship issue or with a decision issue or whatever. And you could say, well, they all struggled and they all reached out to God. In a way, they did that so naturally. And that's a model to follow for me. I grew up with Christian Science, so I was used to pray and to speak to God as if he's just here, you know, at this table as we are. That's what I would call some sort of prayer. And that communication is not a one-way communication. It comes back with ideas. It might not be an idea I would have thought of.
That's usually how you can tell.
Exactly. And that's the good thing about it.
Yeah.
But this some sort of surprise response or this very gentle, loving thought saying, hang on, all is well. You know, I'm with you. I'm with you all the time. I hold you up. I strengthen your back. I go with you. It's just that communication which expresses that oneness.
Yeah.
Isn't that so relaxing to know that you don't need to, you know, make it up yourself? So it gives this kind of softness. It gives this kind of trusting. It gives this kind of, okay, I'm open for this kind of outcome. I don't know yet. But because I'm out of my ideas, there's no better way to,
right.
Okay, at least now I'm open to it.
Yeah.
And then things happen.
What would you say to somebody who says, well, I want to forgive myself, but I'm afraid if I do, it's kind of like letting myself off the hook. Then I might do it again. What if I make the same mistake again? Because I think there can be a feeling that we don't forgive ourselves as a way of trying to make it so we don't make the same mistake again.
The word which comes to mind is alertness. Scanning your thoughts. What is going on in my thought, in my thinking? Is it the same old fear? Then I haven't moved. And then I'm tempted to do the same mistake again. Yes. But what if I have learned something? What if I have learned and seen that pausing for a moment and getting into this communication with God helps me preventing making the same mistake again and again and again. Yeah. Also, sometimes it takes some boldness and courage, but also some kind of humility in order to really follow God's lead and doing things a different way. I'm not talking about, you know, this whole big thing. I'm never, ever doing the big thing. It starts with small things. And maybe I would recognize it not at the very beginning. So I personally started to write down my little successes.
Oh, nice.
Because that's not only writing down my successes, but it's becoming my gratitude list and being not grateful to myself because I, you know, finally got it. But saying gratitude to God as the ever-present help in trouble, as my everlasting Father, Mother, God, as my shepherd guiding me and nurturing me and even teaching me what I need to learn.
Yeah. You know, one thing that really touches me about what you're sharing, Doris, is that I feel like I have the sense as you're talking that part of forgiveness is that God becomes bigger to us than the mistake. Because I think before we forgive ourselves, the mistake can just loom so large. And we've all had those mental patterns of just going over it, going over it, going over it. But what you're sharing is as we turn the focus to God, that is the thing that starts to fill our thoughts. And that just, that love or that shepherding or that care just naturally would exclude what would seem to be the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And that has a very tangible effect in our lives, which is it would make us act differently. We wouldn't feel this love and continue making the same types of mistakes. Of course, that doesn't even make sense. You know, as we feel that love, we would naturally, I think, be more loving to others. Interestingly, there is Mary Baker Eddy's spiritual interpretation of the Lord's Prayer, where she says, and love, capital L, meaning God, is reflected in love, who we are and what we're doing. So I love that idea that behind forgiveness, instead of it being kind of a mental process, it's more allowing God to be bigger in our lives.
I was doing some research in the internet about forgiving ourselves. Mm. And I found that there is this huge market of life coaching elements in saying you need to forgive yourself first. And if you don't do that, you don't get what you want and what you really need. So you need to do this. And I thought, interesting, because that sets some sort of pressure on me as well.
Right, right.
But maybe let's use another word for forgiveness. What would we say? It's loving ourselves as our neighbor, and that's what Jesus told us, what even Moses told us. It was, you know, there from the beginning in the Bible, you could say, and then it took a very, very, very long way until it came to Jesus, and he explained it a little bit more. If you love God, you can love yourself as well, because that's just the same love.
Yeah.
As an expression of God, how could you not see yourself as being loved and lovable?
Yeah.
And that helps loving our neighbors. But there is a clear, first love God, then love yourself because of that. And then you can see your neighbor, your family member, the way God sees them.
Mm.
And that's, again, bringing this identity question into the game. But it all is connected with each other.
I can see that. I know this is a little bit of a hypothetical question, but I am thinking about somebody who says, okay, Doris, that was a sweet example with your parents, but that's hardly the greatest sin in the world. You know, there are people who have gone to prison for terrible things that they've done. How would someone like that, how can they forgive themselves? They might feel like it's just too big. What they did was just so wrong. It just was so hurtful to somebody else.
It's hard to, you know, this is hypothetical, and it's it's really hard to imagine what you would say to someone who is in that situation and who just told you about what has happened in the past. And you think, okay, this is really big. But in a way, no mountain is too big for God. And if we are loving with ourselves, then we are patient with ourselves. So we would not need to see climbing up the hill all at once, but just going step by step. And that's, again, appreciating what is already happening as a good thing.
Mm.
Maybe that person is friendly to the one in the next room or to someone he needs to report to or whatever. So that kind of little seeds can grow into something big.
Mm. Because each of them are evidences of God,
yes.
As you've been talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if we think this mountain is too big, so we won't even start climbing it, that's really a pity, because you should give yourself a try. You should not give up on yourself.
Mm.
You should really appreciate who you are as God's beloved child. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, she wrote this marvelous book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, where she explains so well what God is, and then you can find the conclusion what is applicable to man. And I have a favorite quote.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
It says, in science, and she means in divine science, in the divine law system, in science, man is the offspring of spirit. The beautiful, good, and pure constitute his ancestry. His origin is not like that of mortals in brute instinct, nor does he pass through material conditions prior to reaching intelligence. Spirit is his primitive and ultimate source of being. God is his father, and life is the law of his being.
Mm-hmm.
A synonym for offspring could be, well, I'm the child of spirit. So spirit, God, made me, made my parents equally, made everyone I see. I can acknowledge that God does not have an exemption for his ideas. So there are only good offsprings of spirit, of God, of love. And that helped me seeing myself as a loving offspring of spirit. And it also helped me to see my parents as offsprings of spirit. So that took me out of this role of being not a loving child to my parents, but to be that very offspring, and by that, seeing my parents just the same way.
Mm.
The offspring of spirit, of God, of life, of love. I then saw my parents as being loved by that same parent spirit as I was and am loved, and they are still loved. God loves us despite what we are doing.
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier in our conversation all of the examples we have in the Bible of individuals who have already proven this for us. I mean, they're wonderful examples. And you look at some of the things that were going on, especially in Old Testament times, Moses killing someone, David taking someone else's wife and then sending the husband into the heat of the battle to be killed. I mean, whoa. And yet, what those and others who made mistakes that were fairly severe were able to go on to do shows you the redeeming power of that love that we call God's love. I mean, it couldn't have just been, well, I did something bad and now hopefully I can turn my life around. I mean, there was fundamental change that happened in those people.
They found out that they did a mistake and they surely suffered a moment or two. But they also, at the same time, were speaking to God. They had this connection to God. They knew God is there. Even in those moments, they didn't behave the right way. And at that moment, they realized that they did something wrong and they repented. Then they reached out to God again. Show me, what can I do better now? And God answered in various ways so they could move on. And that's tremendously helpful and inspiring, and also to see how can I identify myself with that person.
Mm. And tell me a little bit more about that. How would you go about doing that?
Well, let's say, for example, Jonah, he was asked by God to do something he didn't like.
And he went in the complete opposite direction. 2,000 miles, I heard.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's a long way. And nevertheless, he was brought back. So if I feel I have something to do which is too big or not accomplishable, or
that you've maybe run away from a little bit.
I definitely, and that looks like maybe I go for a walk or, distract myself with something else and tidy up a corner of my cupboard. You know, it's something I just don't want to think about what I should do. I know this.
Yeah, yeah. We usually do.
But there comes this point where you just cannot escape that call of God.
So when you say in terms of looking to the Bible characters or kind of identifying with them, it's almost like we have in their lives maybe a little bit of a guide for how we could take a step forward. For example, you know, Jonah did go in the wrong direction and then had to end up in the belly of a whale and he spit onto land before he finally got the message. But perhaps the lesson of that story is that he wasn't unredeemable. God was still there. His mission was still the same. And maybe kind of applying that to our lives is a comfort or reassurance or sort of a map to go forward. Is that what you're talking mm-hmm. about?
Yes, because it really shows us there is no way too long to realize that God is with us, that we are the offspring of spirit and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we feel in a way disabled of doing what we did before, and we are waiting for this healing taking place. And you think this is a very, very long way. God's love is there. We can still trust that health is always there. God's love is always there. It's just our perception of ourselves which needs this adjustment. And there comes along this help of God showing us the truth about ourselves, showing us, reassuring us, giving us peace that we are indeed the offspring of spirit, which means we are spiritual, we are complete, we are loved, we are lovable, and we are loving.
Doris, thank you for all the beautiful ideas you've shared with us here today.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Doris Ulisch. She's from outside of Berlin, Germany. We've got one last Christmas present for you this month. If you've ever had relationship issues in your family or with anyone, you'll want to check it out. You can find the link in our show notes. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer. The podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.